Hello and welcome to episode 44 of Track. At Track, our aim is to shine a light on the UK running club scene. This week on Track, we have an interview with Will Battershill, and George and myself discuss the interview and our training in the lead up to our races. How are you doing, George?
Yeah, all good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. We were just having a quick chat before we press record then, talking about some of your training, your recent races, your upcoming races, making an appearance, or your debut appearance, I've put, on Sweat Elite, because you never know.
And yeah.
So talk us through what you've been up to the last few weeks. We've had a bit of a gap since the last one. So how's everything gone?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Had exams, so yeah, that's what I was doing for most of the last few weeks. They finished last Monday, 10 days ago. So had the rest of that week off, which was quite nice. And then that was the week before Bucks. So just trying to recover a bit and yeah, rest up after exams and before Bucks. Training was going well in my lead up. I always struggle a little bit, I think, during exams, just probably like mentally tired more than anything. And like sat down all day isn't ideal before then trying to do a session in the evening or something. So I always find during exams, I feel rubbish on easy runs, like 7-8 miling feels like a tempo. And then sessions, I feel fine. Like once I get going and like a bit of adrenaline or whatever starts to kick in, but easy runs are always awful. So I think just going into Bucks, I was trying not to overthink that. I knew it was just like exam related really. I didn't feel particularly stressed for exams this time, but still think it's just all there, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
But no, was training well going into Bucks. Had the session that was on Sweat Elite. I was rarely in the same postcode as Tom, I'll be honest. I did well. They tagged me in the Instagram reel, which was kind of them because I wasn't really in the session. Got a bit of an interview and a bit of airtime, but it was all about, they were there for Tom, really. He was the draw.
So George, for those of you, for our listeners who haven't seen it, so Sweat Elite, I think most people will be aware of now. In the last, I don't know, year or so, it sort of exploded into this really popular YouTube channel where these guys sort of go all around the world and film training sessions with athletes. And they must have 100 or so videos up by now, I reckon. And yeah, recently they were in Loughborough and they had a session with Tom Mortimer, who we've had on the show before and who a training partner of yours at Loughborough. And so you, Tom Mortimer, is it Matt Stonier, were sort of the front pack in that video. But it was focused on Tom's session and you were there as well. So you had a bit of airtime and yeah, we saw you quite a lot on there. It was quite cool.
Yeah, I was in the background. Tom and Matt went off very hard. I think they got a bit carried away by the cameras. I think it was Tom did 10 by 3 minutes off 90 second jog, I think, on grass. And pretty sure Matt did, well, me and Matt did 8 by 3. The first rep was very fast, and they ran like 4.5 minute miling or something, which as a grass session in flats, was a bit quick. So I was nowhere for the first two reps, and then Matt started to come back towards me. Tom did a little bit, but yeah, he was still miles in the distance. But yeah, no, good to have. Yeah, we think we were hoping they would come down for a couple of weeks. We thought if Tom messaged them, that they might be up for it, because we'd seen they'd been to Leeds Uni quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we thought Loughborough maybe deserved a bit of coverage, and particularly Tom. Obviously, I think you forget so easily how good Tom is. Like 7:38 outdoors and 7:40 indoors for 3K is like world-class good. And because he's just so like normal, you wouldn't know it at all when you turn up to sessions that he's as good as he is. It was nice to see him get the sort of coverage he deserves, and then going out to New York as well to race for New Balance. So yeah, very good.
Yeah, very cool. And so that was the week before he went off to New York, which has now happened, is that right? And he ran and he ran the 3000 indoors at the New Balance meet, and he's now a New Balance athlete, which I'm not sure we've mentioned on here before. And what did he run? He ran 7:40.
So he ran 7:38 in the summer on the outdoors. So I think that's very good to be that close to your outdoor PB indoor, and particularly like I doubt Tom's done that much 3K, 1500 work, like 10 by 3 minutes and stuff is more cross-country aerobic-based sessions. So to be in that shape at this time of year is, yeah, really, really encouraging for him, I imagine.
Yeah, and the other Sweat Elite video in Loughborough features your coach, Frank Baddick, along with his training partner. Assume you've all watched that one. And
yeah, I've seen that one.
Sound quality on that one is it's really windy on that day, wasn't it? So that one's a bit harder to listen to.
Yeah, it was a really windy day, but yeah, it was a good video. So it was Kevin Seawood was, I think, the main star, and then Frank was training with him as well. So Kevin is doing Seville, which I think is next Sunday, isn't it?
Soon, quite yeah. It's a week or so away now.
Yeah. So he's run 2:10 for the marathon, I think. So I presume he'll be aiming for sub 2:10. And then Frank is doing Manchester Marathon, 3rd of April, which is the Commonwealth trial. So I think Kevin did 10 by mile in that session and Frank did 6, but then Frank then did 5 by 2K and the 10K tempo in the evening. So quite a big day. he did like 3 sessions, but it was the 5 by 2K and 10K tempo was a single session, but I think he did 3 sessions worth of reps in those reps. So yeah.
Yeah, they talk about a little bit their coach Andy Hobdo on his approach and how they call those sorts of days special blocks and those sorts of weekend special blocks. So they sort of do get into that a little bit on, as you say, more sort of centered on Kevin's training. But interesting to hear their take on the training as well.
Yeah, definitely. And well, you've spoken to Frank, haven't you, about your training? So I imagine you're quite relieved he's not told you to do 6 by mile, yeah, followed by 5 by 2K and a 10K tempo.
Exactly. Yeah, you were very kind to contact Frank on my behalf, and he we had a quick conversation on the phone, which was very a nice conversation on the phone, and he was very generous with his advice and what have you. But yeah, thankfully he didn't suggest any sort of double session days or anything like that, so that's good. I was going to say your session on Sweat Elite, the 10 by 3 minutes on grass. Like, was there any, I don't suppose you set the sessions, obviously, but was there any sort of thinking, oh, we could probably get on the track and run a bit faster for the cameras and things like that?
Yeah, I imagine it's difficult on the grass because, yeah, you don't, it's never as impressive, particularly with GPS as well. Like, you're probably not always running the pace you think you are. It's pretty flat. There's like one tiny hill, but it's pretty much flat. So yeah, I mean, it would have been, I think we're hoping we'll be able to get them down again maybe in the summer for a track session where we can try and run some faster times. And like Tom does some mind-boggling mile reps at stupid paces, so hopefully we can get them down on a track night in the week in the summer. That'd be good.
Sounds good. If we just mentioned Frank and Kevin there, what I suppose, I don't know how much you know, but through the grapevine, do we know that Kevin is in good shape for Seville, or do you think 2:10 is on the cards from what you've heard and know, or is it just you're not sure?
I've spoken to Frank really about it, but based on that session, I think he was under the paces he was aiming for those mile reps throughout. So yeah, I presume he's in good shape. I'm pretty sure sub 2:10, I think he said in the video that sub 2:10 is the aim. So he was definitely, he looked good in that session. So that was, 2 weeks ago now? So that'll be 3 weeks out from Seville. So yeah.
And hopefully, again, he mentioned it in the video, but that sort of leads into potential selection for one or more of the major games this year. Okay, great. Perfect. So if any listeners haven't come across Sweat Elite before on YouTube or haven't seen the one with George and Tom Mortimer, then make sure you check that out. And very cool. The other big thing you mentioned already, George, is that you competed in Bucks, which again, most people probably do know what Bucks is, but it's the big cross-country university. Well, this was cross-country. It's a university competition. In which Loughborough is obviously always tends to be at the sharp end for distance running. So how did Bucks go? What was the event like? And then obviously our interviewee this week is Will Battershill. So talk us through what that weekend was like.
Yeah, amazing weekend. The atmosphere, it's hard to explain really to people that haven't been or weren't there, like quite how good the atmosphere is. I think I said to my parents that the atmosphere was going to be amazing, and I don't think they probably didn't believe me that it was going to be quite what it was for a cross country, for a amateur cross country, really. Obviously, there's some very good runners there, but yeah, the atmosphere is just ridiculous, particularly for the A races, because the B, so it's met, the timetable was women's B, which is an open race, anyone can run, men's B, again, with an open race. Then women's A, which is four per team, three to score, and then the men's A, six per team, four to score. So by the time you get to the A races, the majority of the runners who go into the B race have run, so they don't care about wasting energy cheering. Or like, I remember when I was in the B race 2 years ago, I probably did like a 5 mile cool down, like sprinting forwards and backwards.
Yeah.
Like watching, it was Tom Mortimer who was in the lead pack that year. And yeah, like the atmosphere is just amazing. I mean, so the start, you did like probably 200 meters like in one direction, then turned around in like a square. And when you came back, like past the finish line or past the start line, almost the wall of noise was just like ridiculous, like goosebumps.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, it's just an amazing event. So yeah, just definitely one that, I mean, the A race has been on my bucket list for 2 years since I was in the B race. And obviously didn't happen last year. Was really pleased to make the team this year, but yeah, we weren't there just to the Loughborough team. We wanted to win team gold. We thought we could. I still think we could have done, but on the day, Birmingham were just miles better than us, really. Pretty sure their four scorers were first, fourth, fifth and sixth or something like that. Okay. Which is pretty, yeah. I mean, I think they got 16 points. So if that adds up to 16, what I just said, they were just too good, but still an amazing event. I ran okay, came 22nd. I wanted to be in the top 10. Still think I was good enough to be in the top 10. It was only about 15 to 20 seconds off the top 10. It was that kind of packed.
Yeah.
Course didn't really suit me. I think I'm a road runner, like really. So pretty much every cross country I've done this year has been pretty much a road race. And it was unbelievably muddy. I still don't really know why, because it hasn't rained that much. Just one of the muddiest cross countries I've ever done. I think running like 5.5, 5:40 minute miling for most of it. And pretty much all my cross countries so far this year have been at 5 minute miling.
Yeah.
It was just brutal. Still an amazing weekend. Got Team Silver, beat St. Mary's, which was nice. But yeah, miles off Birmingham on the day, which, they were just too good. And Will, who I interviewed him a couple of days before, but I think on the Wednesday, he had an amazing race and won it reasonably comfortably, I think, in the end, from Zach Mohammed, who was competing for Solent, Southampton University. And then Matt Stonier from Loughborough ran really well and got a bronze. So yeah, just an amazing team weekend. Really enjoyed it.
Lovely. Yeah, so Birmingham, this is for the men's, obviously, men's A, Birmingham, followed by your team Loughborough, followed by St. Mary's. And those three, probably you wouldn't really bet against those three in some sort of order at the top, would you?
Yeah, that's typically it's the way it should be. I think there's been times where Oxford and Cambridge get in there. Mm-hmm. I think Loughborough have even probably slipped out the top three in recent years. I think it's now 20 years or ish since Loughborough have won team gold in the men's race. So,
okay.
We were hoping we could put that right. But like I say, Birmingham, St. Mary's, Loughborough, generally the top three. That's the way it was.
And for the women, I know Birmingham won the women's, didn't they, as well?
No, Loughborough on the women.
Loughborough on the women's. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right, dominated. We probably need to take some notes from them, I think. Kirsty Walker, I need to make sure I get this right. Kirsty Walker won gold. She won the individual and won by quite a way, I think, about 30 seconds in the end. Mm-hmm. She's Loughborough. Abby Donnelly, who runs for Loughborough as well, came second. Megan Keith, I think, is Edinburgh. Maybe. Yeah. Definitely Scottish University came third, and then Alex Millard, also Loughborough, came fourth. So our three scorers were 1, 2, 4. So domination. Loughborough were in the front pack in some order pretty much the whole way through. And yeah, three really impressive runs from those three.
Very good. Perfect. Well, that's good. And you mentioned your other cross country. Again, I don't know if we've mentioned it yet, but you are now, so we've had in the Birmingham League, so this is for Worcester AC now, in the Birmingham League, although Loughborough also compete in the same league. Birmingham League Division One, you have come third, first and first in the three first fixtures, and we've got the final, fourth and final fixture in a week or so's time. So correct me if I'm wrong, but you are nailed on overall winner for the Birmingham Division One this year. Is that right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I've checked, I've looked at the results, and I can't see any way in which that changes now, which is, yeah, really good. I'm helped by Omar and Omar Ahmed and Kadar Omar only doing, so I came third in the first one behind them. Mm-hmm. And then they haven't done either of the next two, and you have to do three out of the four, so they can't. So that's helped.
Yeah.
But yeah, even so, I think first 2 years in the Birmingham League, I won the junior under 20 men's title. So it's obviously all part, you're all in the same race, but they have like an age category award for the under 20s as well. So I won that 2 years running in the first 2 years I competed in the Birmingham League. So it's now nice to have, yeah, made the step up to winning the senior one.
Very good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have to finish it on, would you have to complete the fourth and final race?
No, so I've done my three or four. So three.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on, yeah, worst case scenario, whatever happens, I'll have 5 points. So 3-1-1, which I don't think anyone can beat. Hopefully. Well, it'd be nice to make it lower than 5 points, but you never know who's going to turn up. The Birmingham Uni lads are clearly running very well, because even the, some of them that I beat in the last Birmingham League were miles ahead of me at Bucks, so they've clearly timed their season really well. But yeah, either way, I think I'm 99% sure that I'll have the individual title.
Lovely. You might get a bit of silverware and something else for the wall, which will be nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's great, George. What else have you got coming up then? So that's next Saturday, I believe, final fixture. And then we've got nationals that you're going to take part in, national cross country. And then also, is it intercounties as well you've got?
Yeah, so nationals is, I'm a senior for both of those, which is a little bit annoying. I missed my last year as an under 20 with COVID cancelling last season. So yeah, not really got any particular range for them. I don't really know. I mean, I have to speak to Frank to try and work out where I think I could come in the senior race. I still think I should be quite high up in the top 30, 40. It's hard to know, particularly because like Andy Butcher could turn up. Like world-class athletes are now, like I'm now in that age category. So yeah, but still, so I think Parliament Hill's 12k, so that's going to be tough. That could be like 50 minutes at least. I think intercounties is 10k, so that's 2 weeks after nationals. And then I think the plan is to do the Reading half marathon on the 3rd of April. So that'll be 3 weeks after the intercounties. I think that's the plan at the moment.
Very good. Okay, because you were toying with a few different half marathons, weren't you? So you're looking at Cambridge possibly and possibly Barcelona, but you've gone for Reading, which is a bit later than both of those, I think.
Yeah, I think Barcelona got moved to the same day as Reading. And I still wanted to do that because it's just faster, better weather conditions, guaranteed, better field probably. But it's just because I'm supposed to be going to America a few days after that to watch the Masters golf with my brother, and then going straight from there pretty much to a warm weather training camp with Loughborough in Portugal. Right, so exactly. Worst case scenario was you go to Spain, then it might be a rule that you have to test before you come back, test positive while you're there, and then that just ruins all those plans. So when there was already a good option available in the UK with Reading, and I think last time Omar won it in 62 or something, so
yeah
normally it might be a bit diluted field wise because of Manchester, but either way, nice to, after the great South Run, which I really enjoyed, give the half marathon a go.
Half marathon debut. So you ran 49:59 for the 10 miles, So I suppose if you extrapolate that a bit for a few more miles, you're hoping for a, I don't know, what are you hoping for? Do you have a time in mind, or is it a, the case of race it and just see how it goes?
I think depends what the field's like, if I'm in a group. Ideally, if it if it's like perfect race conditions and there's people around me and good weather and all that. I think, well, I'll be 6 months on from the Great South Run. And I did the Great South Run off like a week off after track season and then like 3, 4 weeks training. So certainly wasn't in like 10 mile half marathon shape. So I think having got 6 months worth of training in me, I'd like to think I could run the same pace for 13 miles now as I did for 10 in October, which would be 65:30. On an even on a perfect day, maybe sub 65, but I think realistically anything in the 65s would be really good. And then like, it might be that kind of the race doesn't pan out like that and it's a bit slower and then you can just race it. But yeah, that's the sort of time in my mind, I think.
Cool. So longer sessions perhaps after the cross country season and a bit more of a focus on your longer, I don't know, threshold work, tempo work.
Yeah, I think so. I think what me and Frank will probably do is, I mean, I still want to obviously train with the group. So if the group sessions aren't long enough, it might just be a case of, so I did this on Tuesday, just put like a 3 mile tempo at the beginning or the end just to yeah, add a bit of volume in, but still be able to yeah, train with the group. So it'll probably be something like that. That's what I did Tuesday. So yeah, that'll be
Wow,
the plan, I
nice
think.
stuff. Good. Lovely. Okay. Good stuff, George. What was I going to say? Last thing. Oh yeah, your warm weather training camp. How long are you going to be away for? Whereabouts in Portugal? What's the deal with that?
So everyone, the whole team, men and women, are going to Monte Gordo, I think it is, which if people have watched Sweat Elite, I'm pretty sure that's where like Butchart and people like that were. So it's a 2 week training camp. I'm only going for the last week because I'm in America for the Masters, touch wood. Yeah, we're supposed to have
A
been
long
going.
delayed trip that has been, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think yeah, was it 2 years ago? I think we were supposed to be first going. Yeah, it was. So still a bit nervous, but yeah, all going well. I'll be there for the second week of Portugal, which is a bit of a shame missing the first week, but obviously it's worth it. And yeah, still be able to join. I mean, I don't know how much training I'll be doing because that'll then be like a couple of weeks after Reading, so I might yeah, might be just on an easy week, but still obviously training only takes up a couple of hours of your day, so
Yeah, it'd be
good to
nice.
go away with the team and yeah, looking forward to it.
Very good. So you'll be running a half marathon on the same day that I'll be running Manchester Marathon, and Frank will be running, your coach will be running Manchester Marathon, which is only, what are we,
7 weeks, is it?
7 weeks away now. Yeah. So things are ramping up in terms of my training as well. As I said, Frank was kind enough to have a bit of a quick look at my plan. Yes, and a few of his suggestions were that get a bit more volume into some of the sessions. So he said a few of my sessions were okay, but perhaps more geared towards 10K and half marathon type work, in his opinion. So yeah, the sessions going forward now are at least 8 to 10 to 12 sort of miles worth of work, I suppose.
Yeah.
It is one of the main tick boxes that I'm trying to hit. And then I think that the Sunday long run, obviously, that all the normal stuff, the marathon paced work, all of that is still going on. But yeah, I'm managing to hit some good mileage at the moment, and I'm feeling okay off the mileage. I'm just doing one midweek session per week, a Saturday session, and then back that Saturday session up with a steady Sunday long run. And the legs are feeling okay off that so far. I've got my own half marathon with lots of the TMR group in Wokingham on the 27th of this month. So that'd be a nice little, I don't know, a nice little see where I am, I suppose. It's a week after our cross country event. So yeah, all good so far. I'm not injured, which is the main thing, and feeling quite fit. So yeah, I'm not getting too excited though, because I've had good looking Strava blocks before. and always run the same time. So I'm not getting ahead of myself this time around.
Yeah. Yeah. I think doing float recoveries is one thing. Frank said about is that, have you noticed the benefit of that yet? I mean, it's probably only been a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah. But... yeah, that's a good point, actually. So yeah, Frank mentioned that float recoveries are ideal for marathon work as well as other events, but just because it keeps the overall pace of the session closer to a marathon pace as a total. So yeah, those have been really good, actually. And I was a bit nervous about the floats because I thought, you know, I need my rest in between the reps sort of thing. But when you're running 5:40s for your ons, let's say, to then try and run 6:15s or so, it does still feel a lot easier, even though it's quicker than I would normally run. So yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised at how the floats have gone so far, and hopefully that continues.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of floats stuff, because of Frank. And even like we did session on Tuesday was 12 by 200 on, 200 off. So basically 4.8K of 200 meters on and off. I notice a massive difference. I think just like the floats, maybe compared to how other people in the group are feeling, having done a lot of floats work. I seem to recover a lot quicker. So I think it's really useful. And I think I found the most important part is like running the first 50 meters of the float quite hard still and using that momentum. Because if you bring yourself to a jog walk pace and then try and pick it up to a float, then it just feels like a rep. I think if you can carry the momentum and then like settle into it a bit for the rest of it, then that's when, it feels easier towards the end of the float.
Yeah, definitely. No, so I'm going to keep doing that. Got some more, obviously got four big marathon sessions left. And most of those are going to have floats in them. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm trying to not put as much pressure on it this time around. And cool that we'll both be running on the same day. And all right, George, let's introduce, we've mentioned him a couple of times already, this week's interview, Will Battershill. You sat down with him the week of Bucks, but before the actual race took place. So it'd be quite nice for listeners to perhaps hear his thoughts in the lead up to the race, knowing that he came out as a winner. So how was the chat with Will?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, obviously he was on that Wednesday, he was one of my biggest rivals, I suppose, being Birmingham's lead runner. So I didn't try to get into his head too much. Very good chat. So he was obviously feeling good and pretty confident ahead of Bucks about the whole team as well, as was I. So it was nice to, get a bit of an insight into Birmingham. And yeah, we now know sort of whatever they're doing is working. So I spoke to him after the race as well, and he just said that he thinks the course really suited him. I wonder if being a steeplechaser, you get quite a lot of strength, I'd have thought, from the steeplechase, and like getting used to having to slow down, drag yourself out of the water sort of. Yeah, and that's what it felt like sometimes in the mud. Just talked about his training, how he was feeling ahead of Bucks. Big plans for the summer, I think, with obviously three outdoor championships. He's got the Commonwealth steeplechase qualifying time, I think. I think he's racing indoors at British Champs next weekend. So maybe World Indoors is on the cards as well. He's clearly in good shape. So yeah, really nice chat with him. And obviously then went on to run really well at the weekend.
Yeah, great. All right. Thanks, George. We hope everyone who listens to that interview enjoys it. And I think Will's probably a name that will become more and more prominent in the next few years, probably in terms of seeing him at major champs, I would guess. So hopefully you enjoy that conversation with George and Will. And thanks for listening as always. George, what's the plan for the rest of the week? Anything coming up?
Training, really. So it's Friday's day. We've got grass session tomorrow. And then I'll have a 6-minute miling Sunday long run, I think. And then, just back into training next week. And then that's yeah, two more sort of weeks until nationals now. So everyone really in the group is kind of gearing themselves up for that. 12K in probably another mud bath at Parliament Hill could be pretty brutal if I thought the last one was bad at Bucks. I think this one could be even worse. So yeah, just getting ready for that. How about you?
Just training as always and work and so I've got a marathon session on the Saturday tomorrow with quite a big chunk of marathon paced work in there. Hopefully a sort of 20 miler overall and with a decent amount at marathon effort or pace, and then Sunday long run, and then it all starts again on Monday. So that'll be 2 weeks until my half this Sunday. So next week is cross country, and then start to, I will taper down a little bit for that half marathon. Not a huge amount, but that week will be easier. So give that a good go, and then it'll be all the way countdown to Manchester. So
And I think there's some athletics on this weekend, isn't there? And then British Champs next weekend.
So this should be a bit of on the BBC. They've just announced that all of the indoor, so the British Champs and a few other things will be broadcast live.
Yes, yeah, it's good. And then we've mentioned Seville, but have you seen the Josh Lunn video with Matt Rees?
Reece, yeah, the Welsh runner, that was good. So Josh is also running Seville, isn't he? Hoping to run 2:14:30-ish, I
Yeah,
think.
I think. And we've had him on here before, haven't we? So,
Yeah, so hope Josh goes well. And did you also hear that his dad is running it, and they're trying to break the son father world record? So his dad's going to have to run. Well, I think his dad wants to run 2:30 anyway, but we'll have to run 2:45 if Josh runs 2:15. So yeah, cool.
very cool. That's a good record. Well, yeah, amazing record.
I think it might be Tommy, what's his name, the Irish fella.
Oh yeah, I know
Yeah,
who you mean.
I think he might hold it with his son. I could be wrong there.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, George, I'll leave you to it. Have a good one. Thanks very much. Good luck with everything. And
Thank
thank you to
you.
everyone who's listening. And we'll be back soon, hopefully. Enjoy the interview with Will. Cheers, George.
Cheers, see you soon. This week on track, we're joined by Will Battershill. Will represented GB at the European Cross Country Championships in December and has PBs of 8 flat for 3K, 8:32 for the steeplechase, which is a Commonwealth qualifying time, and 14:12 for the 5K. Will is a Harvard University graduate, runs for Erne Valley Harriers, and is currently studying at Birmingham University, who will be racing for it this weekend's Bucks Cross Country Championships. Thank you for joining me, Will. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me. I hoped you wouldn't quote my 5K PB from
Yeah, no, I
like
imagine
4 years ago.
based off your recent performances, particularly over cross country, that
After a
could
rewrite
be
that one in the
excuses.
summer, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think you would run for 5K in like the training you've been doing at the moment?
I feel like if I'd done a good one in the summer, it could have been definitely 13:50, but hopefully like low 13:40s. But yeah, I'd like to run like a properly quick one, hopefully this summer. I'll get down to a 13:30 sort of area. So yeah, hopefully can because I've never gone even sub 14 or anything like that. So
Yeah, I'm
I'll
sure.
run a fast 5K at some point.
Based on recent form, that's definitely one that can be updated. We'll start with Bucks this weekend, and then we'll talk about a bit about results so far this season and some of your earlier running performances. So, I'm in the Loughborough team. You're leading a very strong Birmingham A team. So I think there's a good chance Loughborough and Birmingham, along with St Mary's, Oxford, Cambridge, Leeds, I will be right up there in the mix for team gold. How are you feeling ahead of the weekend? And obviously, without giving too much away, how are the team feeling ahead of a big weekend?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for it personally. It's going to be my first time doing Bucks Cross Country, and from what I've heard, it's quite a memorable event to do. So yeah, really exciting to actually just experience that. I'm hoping to sort of be up there around the front. Hopefully can get a good run myself. But yeah, I think our team's looking solid for sure. We're hoping to be in the running for winning it. But yeah, like you say, you guys and a couple of other teams are looking pretty strong as well. So yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun experience.
Yeah, and so you've done NCAA cross, I believe.
Yes. I've only done that once. Yeah.
So how do you think that will compare experience? Well, obviously, it's just very different in America with kind of college sports being more of a professional sport, almost televised and all that.
Yes.
But how do you think it will compare to that?
I think people take it very, very seriously in America. So like NCAA D1 cross is, people are just there to run really well. And I know there's like no B race or anything, but I know that Bucks like has that short course race where people are sort of there to have fun and stuff.
Yeah.
So I've heard that can add a lot to the atmosphere. So I think, the support is going to be quite different at this one. Like the NCAA cross is so tough. Like if you, the depth is just ridiculous. I was like 110th or something.
Yeah.
And like, if you have a slightly bad day, you'll just get swallowed up. And you lose concentration for like 5 seconds, you lose 10 spots.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be quite a different experience to that. I think the depth won't be quite the same, but I think it's going to be, a really exciting thing to do here.
Yeah, and just it's not even really cross country in a way in America as well, because it's just like often it's more a road race. Yeah. They run like 28 minutes for a 10K cross country, which...
Yeah, some of the ones on like golf courses, and people care about times in cross country.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been to a UK cross country that was the stated distance for a start. So
right. Yeah. I know. It wasn't Northern's was like a mile long.
Yeah,
something like that. The weekends. So I've enjoyed getting back actually into proper British cross country.
Yeah.
And sort of getting away from that a bit. I prefer it when it's like hilly and muddy and you're just racing the course and other people rather than the clock.
Yeah.
So that was one of my reasons for sort of doing Liverpool actually last year, was just kind of to get back into the British system a bit. Because I think you get a bit soft in America
just
doing all these races that aren't proper.
So
I've enjoyed getting back into that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll come to Liverpool and Europeans after Christmas as well. You've had a good few weeks racing. You ran in Algabar, I think it's called, for England last month.
Yeah, in Spain.
Yeah, so that looked pretty crazy.
It was not what I imagined when I signed up for a race in Spain.
Yeah.
Like genuinely the worst rain I've ever seen. Worst mud I've ever run in. Really cool experience, though. The fans there are amazing. There's thousands of them, even on a day like that. And you run on the track for about 2K of the race.
Yeah.
There's also like a long gravel section and then like a hideous mud field. And they somehow, maybe just with appearance fees, just get all these like East African runners that are insanely good. I got beaten by like 2.5 minutes by this guy who's run like 12:58 for 5K.
Yeah.
It was really good fun. Yeah. So definitely enjoyed doing that one. It was, just a good hard run out, almost like a tough training run, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and how's training been since then? Sort of the last couple of weeks, just been focusing on Bucks. Has that been the?
I've definitely just focused on Bucks for a while. That was like one of the things that really excited me when I looked at it on the calendar for this winter, anyway. Training's been solid for that. I'm trying not to get too ahead of myself at this time of year.
Yeah,
I mean, typically, almost every year, I sort of just my body breaks in around April. I sometimes just get a bit ahead of myself, especially in America where you have so much incentive to run indoors and sort of peak for it. So I'm trying to like give myself a bit more space, not get too excited, not overtrain at this point, because all my main goals are happening sort of in mid and late summer, so I'm trying to sort of be, I don't want to be mentally and physically burnt out by then. I've been fairly chilled training, nothing crazy, but consistent, which is like a huge thing for me to get right. Feeling good.
Yeah, that's good. And what does like race week look like? You said you've got it's Wednesday today, so you got a Wednesday night track session, is that right?
Yeah, I'll go on the, or maybe in the afternoon today, or evening. Yeah, track session, typically my pre-race session, I like to be something that's Luke and I basically call it like an unimpressive session. That's basically my only goal of it, is for anyone on Strava to look at the session and go, I could easily do that. What? You must not be in very good shape. So you want it to be totally unimpressive. Nothing cool. Just a couple of like tempo Ks off a short recovery, and then a couple of 400s to spin the legs and just leave it at that. So yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, obviously you're not going to gain anything at this point before a race, so you tire yourself out, I suppose.
Yeah, you sometimes, I think we've all been there, like trying to prove fitness before a race that you're like nervous for.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you've got to sort of get away from that, I think, and make sure you're recovered, fresh, sharp.
Yeah, definitely. And just the kind of training in general, what does like a rough training week look like? Do you always do Wednesday sessions? So is it two sessions a week, or is that just a race week thing?
Yeah, no, I always do two sessions a week. Right now I'm Wednesday, Saturday, just because that lines up really well with what the uni guys are all doing. But ideally I would do Tuesday, Friday. And that's what I was doing for a lot of 2020 as well. But yeah, always two sessions a week. Mileage wise, I've been cutting that down. Like the most I'll do right now is 60. Yeah. I always used to try and hit 70, 75. And then I realized that I'd never successfully done that for like 4 or 5 months in a row. It would just break me. So I finally had enough after it sort of ruined my, because last year I averaged 39 miles a week.
Yeah.
And I was trying to average 70. So my goal this year is like cap it at 60 and hopefully hit 55, 60 for the year. And it typically, one of the two sessions a week, I like to be really aerobic focused. So like a straight tempo is a huge part of my training. I really feel like that gets me fit almost better than any other session. You're looking at like 30 to 40 minutes at an 80-85% effort. So for me, if not in carbons, would be, I don't know, like 5:10 down to 5:05 miling. Other aerobic sessions could be, I guess, long reps like mile reps or fartleks and hills, especially early in like the winter block. Just enjoy doing those. I don't want to be tearing up on the track twice a week or anything. Then the second one of the week might be more looking at sort of like the VO2 max, like slightly quicker reps and that kind of thing. I definitely like to have a good focus on the long run every week. That's another session that really, really, if I can get that consistent, that progresses my fitness a lot. That's another thing that I've capped. I used to be doing like 18 or 19, and I think that's quite risky for me. So I've just capped that at 16 a week. And then the running in between, I like most of it to be slightly on the quicker side, like 6:20 down to 6 minute miling. That's something that was quite big for us in America. It kind of underpinned the coaching philosophy of our coach. And I think something I've added to that since I've come back is I have added in like an easy run when I need it. That was something we never really did. But I think there's a time and a place for like jogging along and making sure you're feeling fresh. At least one or two of my runs in between sessions and long run, I like to be sort of, in that round 6:10 range. And it just gets the heart rate up to sort of the 150s, where you're really getting like that aerobic development. Since I've dropped my mileage a bit, I've sort of tried to supplement with a lot of cross training. Well, compared to triathlon people, it's not a lot, but like 3 or 4 hours of cycling and then a couple of hours of swimming as well, I think has helped sort of supplement that drop in mileage.
And I do the same with like steady runs. My Sunday runs tend to be around the 6 minute miling region. I just find it. I think particularly after a Saturday session, the first couple of miles can feel a bit rough, but once you get kind of going at that pace, it's never as bad as you thinking if you can make that feel easier, then like those parts in a race, maybe a downhill, like where you're running at 6 minute miling effort, say, like that can, like you can recover quicker. And yeah, I think it definitely,
yeah,
it has a value.
I think building into it makes sense. Yeah. And yeah, I think you're right. It's like, once you get going and you're used to it, it's quite an efficient pace, I think.
Yeah.
At least for elite runners, like 6 minute miling is not, you're not sort of, it's still completely aerobic. And sometimes can feel slightly better for your legs than like jogging along at 7 minute pace.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I think it's a really good thing to get into, at least for me personally. And yeah, I think for the long run as well, combining it with that longer effort, I think creates a really good training benefit. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And then kind of back to Bucks. So the big three teams, as people have called it on social media, but there are other teams out there that will be right up there, have named their teams. So just quickly, we've got St. Mary's, Hemming McLuckie, Charlie Brisley, Alex Edeker, Cam Allen, Ahmed Abdullah and Freddie Richardson. Birmingham is Will Barnacote, yourself, Joe Hudson, Michael Ward, Toma Tarragano and David Stone. And then Loughborough is Angus McMillan, Matt Stonier, myself, Finian Hutchinson, Ned Potter and Ben Wills. And in the women's, St. Mary's have Becky Briggs, Eleanor Carey, Kate Eslayer and Juliet Hodder. Loughborough have Grace Carson, Kirsty Walker, Alex Millard and Abby Donnelly. And Birmingham have Amelia Quirk, Saskia Millard, Charlotte Alexander and Maisie Grice. And then outside of those teams, in the men's, there'll be Zach Mohammed, I think, competing for Solent, who he'll be up there for the individual title, I'm sure. And then Josh Dickinson, Sam Charlton, I imagine, will be running for Leeds Beckett, and there'll be many others. Thing is with Bucks as well, as you get postgraduate students like yourself that kind of you bring your standard up, because it's like makes it above like maybe just a under 20, under 23 championships. So
yeah,
it's going to be a very high quality race as always. Is it mainly about the team event for you, or like you mentioned, having an individual aim to be up there? What's like your big aims going into it?
Yeah, it's pretty much equal, I think. And obviously they tie into each other a lot. I think it's been a little while since Birmingham have actually won it. So yeah, that's definitely a big thing for the group. And obviously, if I can help that by doing as well as possible, then that's really cool. And I'm aware that it's my only one that I'll ever get to do. So yeah, definitely excited to try and make the most of it. But yeah, those teams you're reading out are strong. It looks like both the men's and the women's are going to be a really exciting race for the team and for the individual title as well. Yeah, I know, because Zach just had a really good race in Ireland, didn't he?
Yeah, he did really strong.
So yeah, he's definitely going to be tough to beat. And there's a lot of good names on there. Like so many of the, even the under 20 guys are just so talented, like loads of GB guys on there. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting race.
Yeah, definitely. So for those who don't know, it's at Horsenden Hill in London, which I've never raced that view.
No. I mean, clues in the name. I think I've heard there is a bit of a hill in it.
Yeah.
Presumably not that muddy, touch wood.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. Really
bad yet, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think they use it for like Middlesex League or Championships every now and so. Yeah, sounds a good course from what I've heard. But yeah, the first race is at 11:30, so it's women's B race, which is an open race, followed by the men's B race. The women's A, which is 4 in the team, 3 to score, and then the men's A is at 2:15, which is 6 in the team, 4 to score. I don't know if there's a live stream. Have you seen anything about that?
I'm not sure, not that I've heard of, but yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully there will be, but yeah, exciting.
Definitely.
So earlier in the season, I said you competed for GB at the European Cross Country Championships. That was senior men. So you qualified for that with a great run at Liverpool. Yeah, first of all, talk us through that trial race. You said on your Instagram, I think that, yeah, I think your quote was like, I've got no idea where that run came from. So it sounds like you weren't expecting to qualify. Yeah, why was that? What were your aims?
Yeah, it was my first race of the season. And I came into it just, my rationale was like, Liverpool is a really big race. I've not done it for years.
Yeah.
And in the future, I'm going to want to be targeting teams and stuff. So I think it's good to experience it now. And that, like, probably at least 3 weeks before, I was objectively unfit. But then I just did a couple of like tough sort of cross-country sessions on hills, long reps and stuff. And I think it just kicked me back into fitness without realizing. And also I just had one of the best days of my life. Like if I wouldn't be surprised if I never feel that good ever again in a race. And it just sort of happened pretty much by accident. I was like, I'll get out around 30th and sort of hopefully progress a little bit, which is what I did. I just progressed. I just kept overtaking people. I think the course and the course conditions were also perfect for me.
Yeah.
And it was also windy and cold, which I think is good for me. So kind of the stars basically aligned and I ended up making the team.
Yeah. Did you know when you crossed, because he finished fifth, like overall, but fourth senior men.
Tom was under 23.
So did you know when you crossed the line that you'd qualified? Was it four?
No, I knew it was pretty good, but
yeah,
A, I didn't know exactly what position I was, and B, I hadn't checked the criteria beforehand. So
you really weren't expecting.
I was like, well, that was good. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And then Luke was like, well, you're fifth, so it's not an automatic. So there's like those two spots where they sort of have discretion on who they select. And then I went off for the cool down and I think I saw on Instagram somewhere that it was like an automatic selection.
Yeah.
So then jogged back to the like finish area and saw Luke there and he was like, oh yeah, no, you've made it. So yeah, it was all a bit surreal. I was just completely in shock at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did the race like itself pan out? What made you go with the pace at the front if you weren't expecting to be able to?
I didn't really go with the very front group. I know that I think like it was fairly slow for them, and then Butchart like kicked on and blew it up a bit on middle of the second lap, I think. But I wasn't a part of any of those moves. At no point did I see Jack Butcher or Jamie Crow. They were just off. But I came from, I don't know, around 20th and was just sort of gradually overtaking people and managed to catch up to there was a group of Stuart McCallum, Jake Smith and Tom Mortimer, and just managed to latch onto that group right by the finish. So I kind of was able to run completely my race and not be dictated to by any surges at the front or anything, which I think helped me. I think some other guys sort of tried to go with those moves and blew up a little bit. So I think, again, that played into my hands. But yeah, I think everything just happened to go well for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it just sounds like the perfect race. And that earned your first GB senior vest, I believe.
Yes.
So like in those couple of weeks between Liverpool and Euros, how excited were you for that European Championships?
Yeah, really excited. And I was just trying to keep the same mindset that I'd had going into Liverpool, because clearly that had sort of worked quite well. It was basically zero pressure on myself. And I was like, okay, I wasn't planning on this. It's a really amazing added bonus. So I'm just going to really make sure I enjoy the experience. Because I'd had a couple of GB vests for steeplechase for like some of the lower age groups. And I know sometimes you can get to these major championships and it's such a big thing that you just get really nervous and just almost waiting for your race to be over. So it's like done, because you're really worried about it sort of going badly and stuff. So I was trying to sort of learn from that and just make sure I actually enjoy the experience. It's like a really cool meet, European cross country. There's so many good athletes there. Especially the course being in Ireland and stuff, that there were like 10,000 fans that just like cross country. It was so cool. So I was able to sort of immerse myself in that. And I think that allowed it to be like a really enjoyable experience. Yeah. So in those 2 weeks between, I was just trying to stay relaxed, keep the confidence high, not try and change anything really in training. You can't really do much in 2 weeks anyway. So it's pretty much just recover from Liverpool, run a slight tune-up session, and then get ready to go again.
Yeah. And you went on to finish 33rd, I think, in the senior men's. So like, were you pleased with that result? Did you have any aims going in, or yeah, just talk us through how the race went, really.
So that was, I think it was solid. It wasn't what I was ideally wanting to happen. Like a top 20, I think I would have been really happy with, but it was, yeah. And I was the last GB guy to come through as well, which obviously wasn't exactly what I was aiming for, but I mean, we were all pretty close together. So I think it was respectable. The main thing is that I left everything out there on the course. I think the worst possible scenario would be finish a race in a GB vest and feel like you had more to give. That's just a nightmare. So yeah, I was really satisfied that I left it all out there. And I don't think I made any like errors in my tactics or anything. I just didn't quite have the legs. It was like quite a soft course. I think that it being really, really frozen at Liverpool helped me. It was pretty much a track race.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that played into it. I just felt pretty sluggish the whole time. But yeah, just managed to grind it out. And yeah, it was only 25 seconds, I think, off Jack, who was in the top 20.
Yeah.
So yeah, all the GB guys were pretty close together. And I think, yeah, I didn't have any regrets from it anyway, which was kind of the main thing.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned the atmosphere, like just, yeah, the Irish fans were really into it. How did that kind of compare to NCAAs? Was it just one of the loudest cross-countries you've experienced?
Yeah. Well, NCAAs has, I guess there are a lot of people there, but everyone, there's so many different teams that they're all just cheering for their own team. Whereas almost all of the fans in Dublin were cheering for Irish guys, obviously. And there happened to be one of the Irish runners really close to me for most of the race. So there was kind of just this wall of noise, especially around the start-finish area. I think at one point I was like forgetting to breathe because I couldn't even hear myself. it was absolutely ridiculous. A lot of people as well were saying it was like one of the coolest meets they've been to, also as a spectator. It was just such a cool atmosphere. Yeah,
it looked it. And then, as I said, after Christmas you went to Spain for that cross country, mm-hmm. which you've spoken about, and then you sort of broke up your cross country season with a 8-flat 3K indoors. It was 8-flat, yeah. Literally, wasn't it?
Yeah, literally 0-0.
Yeah.
I wish I could say I was aiming for that, but yeah, that was quite cool. Yeah, I just did that because I've been doing so many 10K cross countries and I really enjoy the 3K indoors. I think it's like a really good distance for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, just wanted to have a bit of a burn up. I was not in any way prepared for a 3K. I wish I'd sort of got slightly more ready for it because like 64s felt very quick. At no point did I feel comfortable. But I think it was sort of, again, a good experience to get into like a slightly higher standard race like that.
Yeah.
Race some really quality guys. And yeah, I think that would help me in my cross country to have had like a bit of a burn up over a shorter distance.
Yeah. Just, I suppose, keeping the speed in my legs over the winter and maybe setting a benchmark for like the summer when you kind of transition onto the track. Was that the main thinking?
Yeah. I think I'm also going to do the UK indoor champs in about a month away, I think. I definitely want to be running well indoors at that one. So I think it's good to have like had a bit of a rust buster. I think especially indoors, I never seem to race that well in the first one of the season. It's good just to like get a feel for the indoor track again, because it'd been 2 years since I'd got on one. So yeah, that was really, really good for me, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And what's the aim of going to British indoors? Is it world trials, isn't it? So it'll be a strong field.
It's going to be, a very strong field. It's my first time doing UK indoors. So yeah, part of it will be getting the experience of that. But I can't just be sort of happy to be there and getting the experience the whole time. There comes a point where you've got to sort of be trying to make teams and stuff. So I'm hopeful that if everything goes really well, I mean, obviously I'm one of the guys that's not got the time yet. You've got to be sub 750.
Yeah.
So I'll be going there hoping for a fast race and also hoping to get whatever, presumably top two.
Yes, I mean, that's right.
That's going to be kind of the ideal aim. But if not, it will be a great experience anyway. And there's so many fast guys right now. I know I saw Jermaine Coleman just ran like 7:45. I don't know if he's coming back over for it. And yeah, a lot of guys have been running quick. So
yeah,
that's going to be a good race.
And I guess one of the, when you say about like not just wanting to be happy being there anymore and make teams, one of those will be the Commonwealth Games in the summer. Obviously a home Commonwealth Games, in Birmingham at the moment. How kind of nice was it to tick off the standard last year so that you don't have to kind of be peaking already in like April, May and like trying to hit the standard and then go again if you were to make the Commonwealth Games team?
Yeah, you're right. That was huge getting it done last summer. Because it's such an early date it's like before British Champs even happens. Yeah. So I think that takes away an element of stress. Also, I knew that I could run that quick. I knew it for quite a while, but I still had that 8:44 PB, which just isn't really good enough for getting into any fast races that you want to be getting into. And obviously it's not that close to the standard. So kind of just getting onto that stepping stone where I'm like, yes, okay, I've got a sub 8:35 run down. That's going to propel me into this summer where I think it's going to require quicker than that to make the team, because you probably want to get another standard, which I think helps you in the criteria, and they're going to be picking it off current form and stuff, and there's a lot of good British steeplers. So it just takes away a little bit of that stress that I've already run it. I know I'm there or thereabouts. I've just got to take that next little step rather than it being a huge jump to get to 8:25 or whatever it's going to require.
Yeah. And I think so in terms of other names that will be, I'm not entirely sure if these are all English, but it's going to be like Mark Pearce, Zach Seddon, Phil Norman, Jermaine Coleman, who you mentioned. So yeah, there is a really strong kind of crop of steeplechasers. So yeah, going to be,
I think they're all English. Yeah.
Yeah. And where does that time sit for Worlds and Europeans as well? Because it's a very busy summer.
Well, the Worlds time, I think, is the same as Olympics, which is like 8:22. So, yeah, 10 seconds off that. And I don't know if the European time is out yet. I'm assuming it's going to be quicker. I think it was 8:32 flat in the past, but it will probably be 29 or 28. All the times are just dropping, it seems, like every couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm aware that it's a solid time, but it's not going to be good enough for making any of these major champs. It's just going to allow me to take that next step forward.
Yeah, I suppose it's a exciting year though, in that there'll be like almost more nine spots for English people, and not everyone's going to do all three outdoor championships, I would have thought. Yes. So there's plenty of opportunities if you can kind of hit the standards.
Definitely. Yeah. I think it's pretty much impossible, especially in distance, to do all three. I think, forget the dates. There's some combinations that make sense, maybe like Worlds and Commonwealths or something like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's going to allow greater opportunity for lots of people to make teams, maybe for the first time. I'm really hopeful that if everything goes well, I can put myself in the running and make some of these teams.
Yeah, definitely. And that you had a really good track season last year with that. I mean, finished fifth at British Champs. I think you hadn't, obviously COVID was in this as well, but you hadn't raced since February 2020, when you were still in America. So you must have just been relieved to get back on the track and run fast times again.
Yes. Yeah, I was one of those people that had, I know there were some opportunities like late 2020, but I didn't race in any of those. So I'd had over a year without racing, and I don't know about what other people felt, but I sort of got so into this training mindset that the idea of like doing a race just became this huge thing in my head. So kind of breaking through that and being like, oh, it's just racing. You just go out there and run hard and try and beat people. And getting used to that again, I think that was important.
Yeah.
I was I had some like annoying injuries in March and stuff. It's typically my IT bands that stop me. And they were just sort of flaring up and being annoying for most of the summer. But I just tried to forget about all of the training that I was missing out on and just like enjoy taking racing opportunities, run a couple of hard track sessions. And yeah, happened to work out really well. So that was a great summer for me, sort of taking the step forward that I needed to.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you got a sub 4 mile in there as well, which must have been a barrier to tick off.
Yeah, that was great. I was really not expecting that one. Just turned into a really good, I think like six people in the race broke 4. And that was at Birmingham as well. So that was really good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely really good for me too.
Yeah, definitely. So exciting track season ahead as well. So what will your plans be? Obviously depends on how indoors and stuff goes over the next couple of months, but couple of weeks. But will you have like a bit of an off season in March, April, and then kind of kick on through the summer? Or
yeah, it's always difficult, isn't it, to know whether you can sort of take like a down week in between the two.
Yeah,
I think for me right now, I've not got too ahead of myself or like been peaking for any of this cross country or indoor stuff. So I feel right now that I'd be ready to kick on to like a good training block through March. And wouldn't sort of need down week too much. I also had an off week over Christmas right after coming back from Dublin.
Yeah.
I picked up one of those, like there's loads of colds going around. I don't think it was COVID, but it was just like this little cold that I didn't want to run through.
Yeah.
And also didn't respond that well to the booster jab. So I ended up taking like a full week off after that, which I think I did need. I was a little bit cooked from doing those two long races in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I think that helped a lot. So I think I'll be able to just kick on straight through March. We're looking at going to Albuquerque for altitude in late March and mid April.
Yeah.
And then hopefully I can open up pretty early at something like Mount Sac. I don't know, maybe not, even if it's not a steeple PB, it means I can open up the season nice and early and get that first race out the way. Cause yeah, like you say, all the time cutoffs are pretty early in May. It's even earlier for the Welsh teams, but yeah, even for the English ones, it's pretty early.
Yeah. Yes. And then, so you mentioned going to altitude, is that something you've done a lot, particularly maybe with kind of Harvard?
I've never been to altitude before.
That should be exciting. So, experience.
Yeah, part of that is going to be trialing how I respond to it. I think, yeah, Albuquerque is nothing crazy. It's like 5,000 feet, which I think might be quite good for kind of the first time at altitude. You don't want to be going up to Flagstaff where it's like pretty high. So hopefully, yeah, that will be good in it and see. I think it's very important for an elite athlete to know if you're the kind of athlete that really responds well. But I know some people also just can't handle it very well.
Yeah.
So I guess finding that out will also be pretty important, as well as opening up the season early.
Yeah. Yeah, and then while we're talking about America, I mentioned a few times that you studied in the US at Harvard. So first of all, I imagine being at Harvard and being a top athlete made you very busy. How did you find balancing those two things?
Yeah, it was definitely a lot. But I never really thought about it that much because, I mean, all the people you're on the team with are in the same boat. They're like trying to be really good at running, but also take the academics pretty seriously as well. So I think being able to go through that with just friends that were doing the same thing meant it was a lot easier than it might have been. But yeah, I know some people think that they can kind of be like an athlete path through American universities, but at least at Harvard, it wasn't really like that. We were kind of outside of the track, we were treated like any other student.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely an amazing experience to go through that and turned out really well for the running. We got a new coach on like my sophomore year and both myself and the team as a whole were kind of able to develop and kind of build through the years until the senior year was going really well, obviously until COVID hit. Definitely a lot of fond memories to look back for.
And what made you want to go to the US in the first place? Was it the degree at Harvard, which is obviously kind of prestigious, or was like the running an impact on it as well?
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't influenced by kind of having that opportunity.
Yeah,
it was like pretty hard to turn down. I wasn't really looking at going to America. It wasn't really on my radar. And then they reached out to me and were like, oh, would you be interested in this? And it sort of came as a bit of a shock. So I kind of just went along with it. They just flew me out for a visit. And I really didn't know what was going on with the whole system. I know some people like play, they take visits to like 10 different places and play coaches off against each other and stuff and know the system inside out. But I was completely clueless. I just went along like, well, this is amazing. Didn't visit any other university out there. So I think they must have loved it. And I think I also got lucky with just like other recruits they were looking at just fell through and maybe went somewhere else. Obviously, I didn't know any of this. I was kind of just being swept along with it. And then before I knew it, I was just there. So
yeah,
it was incredibly lucky. I know it makes it sound like I really didn't know what I was doing. Which is sort of true, but it turned out very, very well. And I'm glad that I sort of took that opportunity.
Yeah. Definitely.
And it really paid off.
And do you think going to the US and the racing kind of opportunities you get there, more just kind of higher standard, particularly collegiate meets, but also like you mentioned Mount SAC and things like that, like for the people stepping up into pro racing, like it's just a different thing in the US. Do you think that kind of system has helped you kind of when you're coming back to the UK, like kick on in the way you have done in the last like few months?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the level is ridiculous in America. Like there's always someone that's better than you. Well, there's always 10 people that are better than you. Yeah. So a lot of people go there. They've kind of been like a big fish in a small pond in some little region of their state, or if you're in the UK, just like your regionals. And you go there and you're like, wow, there are so many good people. So you're just going to get your ass kicked like every weekend, which I think when you first get there, sort of as a freshman, you're racing people that are 4 years older and established. At least for me personally, I probably struggled with that a bit. Like you're used to kind of winning things or being right up there at English schools and stuff. And then you're coming like 100th. In these cross-country races. So I think getting through that freshman year, which for a lot of people can be a struggle, maybe you'd rather have some lower level meets at that age. But once you start developing, you get used to the system, balancing academics and everything. I think, it's amazing that there are so many extremely high level opportunities that you can get there. And I think, it really helps for when you're coming back here and trying to do these high level meets like British Champs and stuff, you sort of run in meets that are the same kind of level, like at NCAAs.
Yeah. And I say it's just the standard is just ridiculous, really. I mean, it's pretty rare. I can't think of anyone on the top of my head for a UK university student to like go to the Olympics, particularly if they're still like undergraduate, not like masters or PhD. Whereas in America, like I think Mo won the Olympics. Isaiah Dewitt made the team for the 1500. Like it's just like the standard is just unbelievable. So do you think like that made like just racing those people week in, week out, just pushed you on even more while you're out there?
Yeah, I think it pushes you because you're always, it just shows you what like the definition of good is. Like before I thought, oh, good is sort of like if you like win English schools or you run 14 minutes for the 5K. And then you go to America and you're like, oh, that's what good is. Like these people are becoming like pro runners, going to the Olympics, running ridiculously fast times. And it kind of shifts your perspective for what you actually kind of need to do to really be successful at running.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to go out to like to do a couple of years out there as a master's student. And I think it will be an amazing experience. But you really do realize like they, in the cross country this year, I think they broke my 800 meter PB in the first 800 of a.
That was ridiculous. Yeah. So,
like it's just, it will certainly, shock you into action. Even if you think you're pretty good in the UK. You go to America and
it's another level.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's a good way around to do it. I think is I think that's probably more common than what I did, which is that undergrad there than postgrad here.
Yeah.
Because I think you can then go out there as a bit more of an established older runner. And it's probably easier to stay afloat than if you're going out there at like 18 years old and struggling through that hideous like freshman year that not many people enjoy.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that's a really good way around to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. And then we'll finish with a few quick fire questions, if that's all right with you. So if you could go for a run with any sports person, doesn't have to be a runner, who would it be? And like, where would you want to go for a run?
Oh, yeah. I quite like to go for a run with Rafa Nadal.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Matt Stoney about this the other day. I think he'd like be scarily good at like 10K cross country. His fitness.
Yeah. He's just like watching the Australian Open recently. Yeah. The weekend. Like the fact they go for like 5 hours, like these guys are so fit. And yeah, he's just one of those athletes like outside of running that is like pretty inspirational for his mindset and stuff. So
yeah,
I feel like it would be a really good run, but also it'd be so interesting to talk to him about, because I think it, in any sport, it's hard to see anyone that's like as driven and as competitive as him.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I'd want to run. Yeah, I don't know. There's so many cool places that I haven't run before. I'd like to get more into doing trail running and stuff. So maybe a really cool like mountainous trail somewhere. The kind of thing you really don't get in Birmingham.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose Africa and like just seeing like Jake Smith out in Uganda at the moment.
That looks cool. That looks so cool. Yeah, running there would be amazing.
Yeah, definitely. If you go back and witness any like sporting event live, what would it be?
It's not really going that far back in time, but I really wish I picked tennis again. I am quite into tennis, but watching Murray win Wimbledon would be absolutely insane. Imagine being in there. But yeah, I've never really followed that many sports for like years and years. Tennis is one of those ones that I've followed for quite a while.
Yeah, and then the next question was, if you could be a professional athlete in any sport besides running, what would it be? Is the answer to that one tennis?
I think that would be quite good, although it's extremely tough to make it, I think, in tennis. I think I quite like to be a pro golfer.
Yeah, good lifestyle.
I don't know, maybe it is really stressful, but it looks quite relaxing. They just like go around these like nice courses in Dubai and stuff.
Yeah.
There's like so much money in it. It looks great. But then I probably don't understand what it's like. I bet it's just really tough.
Yeah, mentally training, I thought, but yeah. Certainly looks good. And if you could only run like one race a year every year, in terms of just an event itself, like Bucks or something like that, what would it be?
I think it would probably be NCAA cross. Yeah. I really miss doing that. And I only got to do it once. And I think it's just like so difficult to get right that it'd be fun to do it year after year. And you'd constantly have something that you can improve on and try to do better next time. So yeah, I'd love to have another like 5 goes at that.
Yeah, good answer. And finally, where can listeners find you on social media if they want to? Strava, Instagram, all of those.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Strava and Instagram are my main two ones. Yeah, I'm like public on Strava. I quite enjoy that stuff.
Yeah.
I'll always return kudos as well. So, and yeah, also Instagram. Yeah, find me on Instagram as well. I think those are the two main ones that I use.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck this weekend. Obviously, not too much luck.
See you there.
Hopefully I'll like see you on the podium, but on the step below me, that would be ideal. But yeah, all the best. And yeah, thank you again for coming on.
Cheers. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and yeah, good luck for the outdoors and an exciting 2022, hopefully.
Thank you. Yeah.
Cheers. See you soon.
Cheers.